Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And for the first time, I feel like I'm starting this out with, I'm frustrated.
Oh, geez. I was going to start with, are you liking our Friday night date night?
Well, I am. This is like, if I'm not watching Dateline, at least I'm sitting here talking about true crime with you.
I totally agree with that.
So let me tell you why I'm frustrated. So
yeah, I mean, you never start with that.
I know. But I usually can land on a case pretty fast. But I was very committed this week because we made a commitment to you guys a long time ago that we were going to be more conscious, make sure that we are not only doing the underreported crimes and missing persons that this whole podcast is about, but doing groups that aren't focused on. So minority groups, indigenous, what have you. And I've just been very mindful of that lately. And I, you know, watch the trend of the episodes that we put out. And I'm like, just gotta stand by what I said. It's so important. So I went on a search to look for cases, and I'm telling you, 4-5 days in, I can't find anything. It's awful. It's disgraceful. I'm so frustrated with underreporting.
Okay. Is it, and I'm not asking this in a negative way, I'm asking it in a generality way. Is it a minority cover? Like, is it a minority? Because we say all the time, like, if it's a white girl, she's going to get, you know, blown up in the media.
And yes, she is a minority for several reasons. She fits into several groups. And this case is probably more covered than others, but still vastly undercovered. Because the basis of some of my information is really off 3 articles or so, which isn't a lot. I mean, we usually have 5 to 7, and we probably even tap into some others and skim them briefly before we start compiling our information. But yeah, this was really challenging, and it just reminds me how frustrating it must be for families. Disgraceful is the only word that comes to mind, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
So that's what I'm bringing here today, and I wanted to express my frustration because if I'm frustrated, other people must be frustrated, hopefully, and we'll pay more attention to these things. We will start covering these cases. Starting here, starting today.
And then we already try a little bit, but you're right. We do need to do even more and more and more. So I'm glad you're doing one.
Yes, me too. So yeah, starts here, starts today. So the second thing is I was toying with another case to do, and I'm kind of like following in your footsteps, Melissa, in the sense that this case that's on my mind, and it's kind of like a teaser moment, is perhaps a two-parter. I haven't decided exactly how I'm going to do it, but it might be similar to what you did with your two related cases. So that's coming down the pike.
All right, I like it. You realize if you tease it, you have to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't do that to you guys. That's what's going on upstairs in Amy's head. Anything from you, Melissa?
No, I'm excited. Just dive in.
All right, awesome. So the case I'm going to tell you about today is the case of Aubrey Dameron. Aubrey Dameron was born in Grove, Oklahoma on October 22nd of 1993. Aubrey's a member of the Cherokee Nation, and this is exactly kind of what I was alluding to at the beginning. And her missing persons case is just one of many underreported cases of indigenous persons. Grove, Oklahoma is relatively small, teetering on 6,000 people. So my town alone is between 14 and 18,000. I'll just say that. And my town is known as small. So I think of a town of 6,000 as kind of like a rural community. You might even have to like go to the next town over to the grocery store. Basically, it's a place where people reside and you go outside of town for your resources. So, yeah, pretty small. People know people. Aubrey grew up with her aunt and uncle, who are actually closer to what you'd imagine cousins to be. They're very close in age. Aubrey related to her uncle Christian a great deal. They were only, I believe, 6 months apart. And it was because they were both bullied and they understood what it was like. And they connected with one another because of it. Aubrey and her mother don't sound like they had a very much of a connection. I don't want to say it was like a bad relationship. I haven't read or heard that anywhere, but they just didn't sound super connected. According to a news interview, Aubrey's aunt and uncle, Christian and Pam, stated that Aubrey's mom had expressed not wanting Aubrey at some point, probably when Aubrey was a baby. And my training tells me that that's deeper to do with maybe personal trauma causes some disruption in connection with you and your baby. Other things like that. So there was a reason that she felt that way. Aubrey appeared really strong, and let me tell you why. Aubrey had come out as gay and later as transgender, and this all happened while she was still a teenager. And this was in her small town of Grove of 6,000 people. Now,
and what year was this?
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting to. So she was about 25 when she went missing about 2 years ago, and she came out as a teen. I don't know exactly what age it was, so if you're thinking 16 or so, that was 10 years previous. So this is still in the 2000s. It's not like we're going back to 1990, but I do still think about today when it is becoming, or on its way, hopefully sooner rather than later, a normalized thing. But identifying as transgender is still something that some don't understand. And I can only imagine that all the, you know, just these 10 years ago in her small town, it was even that much more challenging with no one before her paving that road for her. And that's where the word strength comes from. It's like, you knew your authentic self and you were going to be that at all costs. So this goes back to the bullying. So now we kind of know probably to some degree why Aubrey was bullied. And I think her cousin had said in a news article I read that Aubrey just kind of took it with a grain of salt. I'm sure that it hurt to some degree, but that her response was basically like, I'm going to pray for you. So she was really self-aware, strong, okay with being her authentic self. Aubrey was born Austin and, like I said, began her transition. She never fully completed the necessary surgeries to make the full transition, but she was on her way, and she didn't complete this probably most likely because she went missing, not because of a change of heart or anything. She just didn't get that far, but she was looking forward to making a full transition. She had hopes and dreams. She wanted to be in entertainment. Sounds like a really sweet, caring, down-to-earth person.
I'm just impressed with how, like, self, not self-aware, but how, like, comfortable she is with herself, even during that time.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that no matter how uncomfortable it was, there was some level of, I need to do this, or no matter how hard this road is for me, this is going to be worth it for me in the end. So things did get better with Aubrey and her mother. I don't think they had an like best friend like relationship, but I think that things simmered down coming into adulthood, and it seemed like things were going okay. Aubrey overall remained close to her family. Her aunt and uncle in particular were always close, and she stayed connected with them. But in 2017, I believe it was late 2017, early 2018, Aubrey and her boyfriend Jay moved to New Mexico. The relationship was abusive, and Aubrey seemed to live this difficult time in secret. I think it's not an unusual thing with abusive relationships to keep it to yourself. You kind of don't want people to know. You might think it's going to get better or go away. So sometimes it is a surprise to loved ones when they find out what is really going on.
Plus, if she had been bullied, it's hard to wonder, like, what she thought she deserved.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about that, but you're probably right. There's probably some truth there to that.
And I'm no in no way saying she deserved anything. I'm just saying, like, she may not have realized or had a lot of, even though she seemed to own herself, but, like, self-worth is different, you know?
Oh, and it's complex. You're right. Absolutely.
Just my thought.
And I think they're valid. But here's where the strength comes out again is, you know, Jay had threatened to kill Aubrey if she ever did leave. But regardless, she did. And she moved back home. And the only reason why we do know this is because I believe Aubrey disclosed this threat to her aunt and her uncle. So we know that how severe that it got. It wasn't a speculation or that they thought he said this. This is what Aubrey had told them. So when Aubrey got home in August of 2018, Christian and Pam were a little bit concerned because Aubrey moved in with her mother, her brother, and her stepfather. And unfortunately, they were all heavily addicted to methamphetamines. Ugh. It's unclear to me if Aubrey struggled with substance use because Jay actually is the one that cited Aubrey's misuse of alcohol and drugs as the reason that she went home so that she could get help. But I couldn't really find any solid information that anyone else had seen or felt that she was struggling with substance use issues. So I don't know. Take that for what it's worth. I mean, it's almost like if she didn't come home to get help, what did she come home for? Well, if she's leaving an abusive boyfriend, then where else was she going to go? She's going to go home. So that's a really hard one to tease out.
Exactly.
So when Aubrey did come home, family kind of reported a decrease in communication as well as social media presence, which is something that she always talked to her family. She was a big presence on social media, and no one really knows why. And I hate to speculate, but we do this. You know, just based on the information that we have. And I just wonder if this was just some depression linked to I left someone that I loved and thought loved me. And even though I left doesn't mean that it hurts me emotionally any less. And that could be a good reason to not really make any attempts in talking to anyone or keeping up on social media. But maybe it could be other things. I'm not sure. So also worth noting is Aubrey didn't appear to get along with her stepfather. So much so that police were called in late February for a situation between them and charges were filed but then dropped. But even though they were dropped, it's really hard to ignore this leading up to March 13th. So very early that day, March 13th, at 3:30 a.m., to be exact, Aubrey told her mother that she was going to meet someone and left, dressed up, but without much. There was no indication that she took a purse with her or anything like that, but she did take her cell phone. Her phone last pinged near her home at 3:42 a.m. Then it shut off or it died. That was the last time that Aubrey was seen. When Pam and Christian found out, which was actually days later, and it was through a person of another person that knew that Aubrey was missing, they did what any loving family would do, and they kind of started to look for her. So they went to the house, started looking around, asking questions, and they noticed that Aubrey's things were all packed up. And their sister, which is Aubrey's mom, kind of gave some odd excuse about Aubrey looking for something, and they were like, that would not mean that she would pack up things to look for something. Your story makes no sense whatsoever. And that was pretty much it before the police got involved. Now, it does appear that the police did what they should have. I'm not sure, and I'm not sure the family's thoughts and feelings about this. It doesn't appear that it got enough media coverage, but it does appear that police did their searches, although, on the other hand, I've heard reports that the police kind of laughed it off or felt like she just went off and did her own thing and didn't think much of it. But police did report they searched for her. They followed up on sightings, which included Aubrey being seen in places such as casinos. They searched ponds near her home. They raked the lake. They put divers in lakes to search top to bottom, back and forth, and what have you. And they found absolutely nothing. So, at this point, other than sightings like that, we have no idea what happened to Aubrey. And there have been no other good leads. There's no physical evidence left behind. It is noted in an article that Aubrey did have epilepsy and she takes medication for that. And she would not have gone far without her medication, which she did not take with her. So that is the end of the story. And we have a couple of theories. And I think that there's a couple out there, and I'm going to add on the usual ones just for the sake of weeding them out. And I'm going to start with those ones first. So we have died by suicide. Now, I have not heard anyone talk about this one. It does not seem that anyone believes that this fits or makes any sense whatsoever. I guess in my head, I think that it could be a possibility after you leave a relationship, you could be experiencing depression. If in fact there was a substance use problem, that also could impede your ability to make the same decisions that you would make when you're sober. So to me, actually, I can't completely write that off. We're not completely certain what was going on, what kind of headspace Aubrey was in. And she quite possibly could have, but I don't suppose I understand why you would leave your home at 3:30 a.m. in the morning and dress up, take only your cell phone.
No, that sounds like, that in my opinion, sounds like, and this is going to sound, you know, whatever, but sounds like a Tinder date or some kind of hookup of some sort.
Well, that's kind of my thought too. So, side note real fast. I don't know much about what Aubrey was doing in her time by herself. It has been said, I believe it was by one of her cousins in a report, that people make judgments about her lifestyle or her choices or something along those lines. And I don't know what that means. And quite frankly, I didn't go searching for it because for me, I felt like I didn't want to be put in a position to judge someone by their choices in that way. Yes, there are choices that you make that put you in a higher risk category.
Yeah, I mean, just because you're in a higher risk situation.
I didn't want to lead off with any of this information. I think that the comment alone, without knowing the details, says to me she might be in a high risk category. Aside from perhaps identifying as transgender, living in a small town, and that's really, for me, all I needed to know. So whether she's meeting someone on a Tinder date or, you know, she's meeting a stranger or a friend of a friend, when you leave at 3:30 in the morning, that's kind of high risk being alone.
I agree with you there, but is there any indication to who she may have been meeting?
No. So I have not read that her phone was ever recovered, only that it was pinged near the home and it was shut off or it died. So we don't know, like, who she was talking to or whatever, and there's no indication that they ever were able to recover that from phone records unless it's something they're holding back, but I don't think so.
Is there any chance she was lured out?
I think so. There's no indication that she wasn't, because we don't know what was on the phone. She said when she was leaving, I'm going to meet. I mean, I think that bleeds into some other theories. Next thing that I think is a little more unlikely is leaving your life.
No.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think so either. I think between her move from New Mexico and her move back home to Oklahoma, I would think that would be more of an ample time to do it. I think that it would have been difficult for her to never talk to her aunt and uncle again, at a bare minimum. Just
like you said, though, she could have just left the house that she was staying in with her ex-boyfriend and never gone home.
Exactly.
So I rule that out.
So that does bring us to the boyfriend or the ex-boyfriend, which I know sounds like a really, like, duh, why aren't we thinking him? So he was abusive. He made threats. However, the problem with thinking that he could have had something to do with it himself physically is that after he left New Mexico, he actually moved to Colorado. So at the time of Aubrey's disappearance, Jay was living in Colorado.
Okay, so he's cleared.
In terms of him alone physically doing something, I don't think so. That brings us to a hate crime, which
in a small town is not unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable. So she could have met someone for, just say, something like Tinder, and someone could have lured her out because primarily to cause harm, or they could have discovered that she was transgender and done something, or she could have gone out for a completely separate reason to meet someone and then met foul play.
Okay, so I would say whoever she went out to meet is likely involved.
Well, when you think of the fact that she left at 3:30 in the morning, and by 3:42 her phone's off or dead, which dead seems unlikely. It could have been, but that would be the most poor and coincidental timing
ever. Yeah.
But if she left and she met with someone, that means it took only 10 to 12 minutes for someone to have made a decision that this was going to be it.
So they went there with that indication.
I would think so. It's not as if this person's hanging out, having a conversation with her, discovers that perhaps she's transgender or perhaps has some dislike or distaste or sinister motive, and then is like, I'm gonna kill you. I mean, that doesn't take 10 minutes. I feel like that's more like an hour or two.
At least.
Right?
Or it wasn't like it was a hookup and they discovered a transgender and then overreacted because 10 minutes.
Right.
No, it was 100% lured out, and it was 100% whoever did it did something.
Well, here's the other theory that I think is going to blow that one out of the water, maybe. There's the stepdad. So this kind of, it leads me to wonder if she even left the house like she said she was going to do. Was that even real?
I'm sorry, what?
So we know from Mom that Aubrey said, I'm leaving to meet someone at 3:30 a.m. Now, let me tell you, when I first started reading this article, I said, was she just up at 3:30 hanging out for Aubrey to say this? Or
I was just going to say, so like the whole family was just chilling at 3:30?
Right. Or did Aubrey literally go wake her up and say, I'm going to meet someone? I just find it very casual, like, that she had this conversation with Mom, and it wasn't under the pretense of, yeah, she woke me up, or I was really groggy or tired, or I fell asleep in front of the TV and she was walking out and I heard her. So, I don't know. I'm just telling you what my first thoughts were. But let's not forget that Aubrey had an altercation with her stepfather that led to the police being called. So, yeah, the charges were dropped, but who's to say that if they had one altercation, they wouldn't have another, or that that one was even the first? That's just the one that we know the cops came to, right? I'm just wondering if they could have gotten into an altercation and he caused her harm and took her out of the house or something like that. And he's the one that switched off her phone. And I don't know if Mom knew or didn't know or whatever, but could it be that Mom was just covering for the stepdad in saying that? I mean, maybe Mom didn't even know what the situation was that happened, but she felt compelled to cover. I know that was a lot for you to respond to.
Yeah. So, okay, hold on. So where was her phone found?
There's no indication that her phone was found.
All right. Next question. Had any of her friends talked to her or anything?
So I don't really know what to make of this particular information, but I did see that she had sent some Facebook messages that went unanswered to her friends, but I don't really understand when these Facebook messages were sent. Were they sent at midnight? Were they sent at 2 in the morning? Or were they sent in that period of 3:30 in the morning and 3:42, because that's a lot of messages to send in 10 minutes. So I can say that and I'll put it right here.
Okay, that's reasonable.
But I don't know what to do with it.
Okay, that's reasonable. All right, so keep going.
So I just spewed the whole stepdad thing. And so you had some questions.
I don't know that I like it. I mean, sure, it's reasonable, but I hate the fact that, like, her mom might cover that up. But we've done enough cases where I know that's reasonable, as crappy as that is.
And I just don't know the extent of their meth use, but I do know that this substance is pretty powerful and can really, I don't know even the proper term for it, but really mess up your head. So anything could be possible in a moment of being in this meth-induced haze.
Okay. Are there any other theories?
So I gave you 4 or so theories, but honestly, a lot of people suspect stepdad.
No. Let's throw out suicide.
There's speculation of a hate crime in general. No one's really talking too much about the boyfriend. because of his location in Colorado. No one that I read has said that they speculate die by suicide or that she left her life. There was one really strange report that came forward from, and excuse me if I say her name wrong, I guess this girl, Danette Rothbotham, excuse me, had ended up contacting Jay and basically tried to say that she had Aubrey and wanted money for her safe return. And
wait, what?
They looked into it. They interviewed this girl, and she, in fact, was like, yeah, I was lying. I just wanted money. And it's stated in almost every article that this happened. But again, I don't really know what to do with that. They seem to have determined that she, in fact, was lying. There was no evidence to connect this person and that and the disappearance. So I don't know. I guess I'm like, I feel like all these articles want me to feel like it's relevant, but I don't see its relevance anymore.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Are you on Team Stepdad?
So, yeah, that's where I land.
Because I'm not.
You're not.
No, I'm on hate crime.
So you think that she was lured out?
Yep.
That would have to mean that someone had a sinister idea immediately, like premeditated sinister idea to harm her.
Okay, let's be real for 1 second, okay? It's not like she ran with a straight and narrow crowd. And I don't mean that as a reference to her sexuality or her transgender or any of that. I mean that everyone in her life had drugs or alcohol or whatever problems, right?
Okay.
So it's not like she, you know, went... She came from a rough and tumble crowd. Even her family, right? So it's not... And then that's already high risk. Then you add transgender, homosexual, and a female now, which are all riskier than the last. It's the perfect storm for a hate crime.
Small town.
I didn't even say small town, but yes, small town.
Yeah, I mean, these are horrible statistics. You're right.
You know, I feel like that's the perfect storm.
And I think that it's a decent theory, but I actually feel like I'm 50-50 with that or stepdad.
I don't want to believe stepdad because I don't want to believe that her mother was willing to cover it up. But then I look at, like, Cassie Compton, and we kind of feel like her mom's boyfriend could have been involved. Or I look at Amy Fitzpatrick, another one where we think mom's boyfriend, husband, whatever he is this week, did it. So do I think, as awful as it is, that apparently women cover up for the men in their lives? Sure. I mean, it's not impossible. We know that it's possible. However, in this case, I think that, unfortunately, and this is not a slight at all at Aubrey, but she was in too many high-risk categories, and that's what brought to her demise. And again, not a slight at her. No one deserves it. I'm not saying because she made any of the choices that she made, she should have been a victim. But I think because she made the choices that she did, that's what made her a victim.
Could it be that mom...
I love what I make you think.
...didn't necessarily cover for stepdad, but maybe she witnessed it and just didn't do anything? And is therefore incriminated by that?
I don't want to think that a mother watched her boyfriend or stepdad or husband, whatever he is, kill her daughter in front of her and didn't stop.
But it happens. It happens all the time.
Okay, I don't want to believe it.
I think where I land Melissa is 50-50 down the middle.
No, I'm like 85-15.
Wow, that's incredible.
All right, people. And we can go round and round and round.
They just had an altercation that involved the police a week or
two
earlier.
Which makes him even more of a suspect. If they had an altercation and didn't call the police, I'd be more likely to say maybe, because it's not like it was documented that they had just had an altercation.
We don't know who called the police. It could have been a neighbor.
Regardless, the police have it documented.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I unfortunately think that something sinister happened in general.
I think something sinister happened as well, but I think it was her being lured out. And on that note, please share your thoughts and theories, and we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
Have a great week. We will see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.